Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Padonis, and tonight we're live to recap a short round, the first bye round of the season, round 13, and a frustrating finish to that round left us at 1-2 on our best bets. We did at least win the mixed matchup. The beauty of the mixed matchup, it always involves two games. We don't have to win both of those games. We don't have to be right. We just need to get one more right than the other. Luckily, we did that with the Cowboys winning by a bigger margin than what the Roosters lost by today. So that was fine for us. And we didn't even put out a multi because of the limited game. So we had a super modest profit, even though we did go 1-2 on best bets. But that hurts. We will start straight away with that game. Roosters going down this afternoon. 22-16 in the capital to the Raiders. But before I get your thoughts, Padonis, we'll actually hear how the bookies went, because this game not only was decisive for us, it was decisive for the bookmakers too. So here's Tristan.
G'day, Tripod family. Tristan from Top Sport here. A shortened week this weekend in the NRL, where the first game of the weekend saw the Cowboys absolutely demolish our Titans, which is pretty disappointing, and the punters were all over them. So that was a tough start of the weekend from our point of view. Surprisingly, actually, the next game was a win from our point of view, where the Bulldogs plus the start were very heavily backed, and that late penalty goal just tipped it over the line. Last night was one-way traffic, punters all over Manly. The line moved from 3.5 out to 6.5, and it was our worst result significantly over the weekend. I'm recording this just before the Roosters-Raiders game, where obviously the mixed matchup is all over the Roosters and the punters have been all over them too. So I'm definitely in Ricky Stewart's corner this weekend. Looking forward to the Origin. We'll come back to you on Monday with another little poddo over the next couple of days, and looking forward to releasing a couple of unique and custom markets that hopefully the listeners out there enjoy. Thanks, guys.
Can't remember if I mentioned that on Wednesday, but we are going to do an Origin 1 preview with yourself, Padonis, and the Five Guys, and some special celebrity cameos, and that's going to be live tomorrow night, so Monday night, or listen to it as a podcast. We'll make this one short. Tristan, needing the Raiders, you know, it was one of those weekends. All the favourites won. They all won pretty easily. We needed the Roosters being that fourth favourite. I knew, like, everyone's multi was running into this. I knew there'd be one spanner in the works, and when all the other favourites won well, had this weird feeling, nah, and it's never that easy. I reckon the Roosters will be in for a tough one. And our best bets, I should say, we needed Roosters over 3.5 tries. Of course, they scored 3 with several other close calls. And we needed them to cover 2.5, but they lost the game outright. How did the Raiders win that one?
Yeah, to me, it was a pretty frustrating watch. I know that we were on the Roosters. They had plenty of ball in that first half, and they had 30 tackles in the Canberra end in their red zone in that first half, and they just couldn't seem to crack them. They looked a bit disjointed. I think they went sideways a bit too much. The gaps were there through the middle, and you saw that in the second half when they did go through the forwards. They were making plenty of meters. And it's funny because the wind was in Canberra's favour in the second half, and the Roosters had all the advantage in the first half, but it was the side against the wind in both halves that came out on top. And I felt that if the Roosters scored a try or two to get into the lead, then they would have been able to harness that, and Canberra would have been playing catch-up. I think it suits this Canberra side to play from in front, knowing that they are missing Wyden and Papali. Their forwards did step up, even though I don't say that they were impressive with the ball themselves. They scored one try in the first half, which was just a lapse at marker from Tupanua. And then in the second half, the Roosters are down 12-6. All they want to do is just start well. The first kick of the game, Kiri with a pretty lazy bomb. It was pretty flat off the dummy half there. And then it was a charge down try. Before you know it, it was 18-6. And the Roosters, again, down 2 scores. I do commend them for making a fight back, but it was just a little too late in the end. And they had plenty of bombed opportunities. I think back to the Suwali in the first half, drops a bomb over the line, even though he made up for it late. And then Tupanua off a short ball off Kiri when it was 18-6, and I thought he was over the try line for all money. Somehow it hits I think it was Sebastian Chris's hip that stopped him from getting over the in goal, and then he just fell short, unfortunately. It was one of those frustrating watches, and Canberra came to play, and the Roosters had all the advantage in the world with a bit more prep, and I thought Manu was outstanding. So that was a one shining light for the Roosters, had about 28 metres and 14 tackle busts. So in the end, it was pretty disappointing for our two best bets falling short, and the Roosters losing outright.
28 carries by Manu. Yeah, you can't blame him for that one. And you can blame me. I looked at this round. I thought the Roosters were the best bet of the round. And I've kind of been overruling or having the final say on what we lock in as a best bet between you and I put on us. And that's worked okay. It worked okay for us last week. And then this week, you know, I really liked the Roosters and talked you into that. I like the Cowboys too, at least that one. We'll talk about that next. But then I talked you kind of out of the Manly side, which would have been such an easier watch. You just have to give all the credit to the Raiders. Like, yeah, we can lament all the close calls by the Roosters, but it was just unreal Raiders goal line defense. We saw it against the Sharks at Suncorp. We saw it against the Bunnies, you know, but I thought the Roosters had a slightly better attack than those sides. I was willing to go with them. I didn't think they'd lose too much with Teddy out with what Manu could do, and that wasn't what cost them the game. So while the Roosters were not at their best, you can only play as well as your opponent lets you. So, and I think Raiders, they deserve to win. It's a very even game. Like Savage's try just picks it up off his bootlaces, whereas other ones, Roosters, you know, fingertips in it, they don't score. So it goes either way, but the Raiders deserved it because they were tougher. And it was a very stop-start game, which suits the Raiders, the power play that they want to, the style they want to play, where the Roosters want to cycle with you and they want to play footy. They didn't get too much chance until late in the second half. They got it all the way back to, you know, 18-16, and it's a bad miss tackle by Momorowski that kind of seals the game. But it's a disappointing one for the Roosters because they got a tough run ahead. Let's roll all the way back to a game we won, which opened the round, which was Cowboys 32 beating the Titans 6. The Titans are an absolute mess right now, aren't they, Podonis?
They are, and you talk about goal line defense and showing up for your teammates. How good was that Cowboys defense in the first half under all that pressure and adversity from the Titans? They started the game fast. They scored an early try, and they had, I can't remember how many sets they had on the Cowboys line in the first half, and the Cowboys kept on turning them away, made a few errors themselves. I think they had about 60% completion rate in the first half. And despite all that, they withstood all that pressure. And then in the final 10 minutes before halftime, they score two tries of their own, and then they get a third just on halftime. Off in the Zarko drop ball / intercept, streaking away down there for, I can't remember who it was there. Talangi, maybe it was.
No, it was Tabuai Fidow. He pounced on it and then kicked ahead, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the Gold Coast knew the game was over at halftime after all that territory and possession, and the Cowboys just went into their groove in the second half and didn't really give the Titans a sniff. And shut the game out and scored a few late tries of their own. And I really like how the Cowboys, even with all their origin players out, they stuck to the same system and principles that's been working for them. I thought Townsend was great steering them around the park in the absence of Dearden. And yeah, I've got nothing good to say about the Titans. Unfortunately, they probably had their worst performance overall on balance. And it looks like the players are disinterested and not sure if they're really buying into what Holbrook's done there. And for them to sit third last on the ladder, given what happened last year and all the euphoria around the Fifita signing and making the eight and coming close to knocking out the Roosters last year, to fall off a cliff the way they have, it's pretty disappointing for all the Titans fans. And I'm not sure where they go to from here. And I think they're going to look to next year and beyond now.
I mean, these sides that struggle, you just feel like they're looking around, they're looking sideways, and who's going to put us on their back? And who do we look to lead us? And that's at the best of times. The Titans are short on leadership. And of course, Tino wasn't playing either. So I don't know who it is. Like, they look to AJ Brimson, who captained the side, and he can only do so much. And I probably would have liked him to have a better season this year from how talented, you know, I believe he is. But he's on a side that often isn't going forward. And I was a bit worried in this game. We should say the Titans scored the opening converted try, had other opportunities, just looked like they were playing, you know, high completion and they were high effort and they were building pressure on the Cowboys line. But the Cowboys absorbed it. And once they struck back the other end and got a couple of tries, and that third one was like the backbreaker there when they got handed the try from Izako, and they go in up 10 at the break or whatever it was. And then still, you know, second half again, the Titans, we had more footy early, a little bit more territory, but just a weak side, mentally weak, and just couldn't hack the pressure. And you just shouldn't get blown out at home against the Cowboys side that's missing four origin players, you know. And those late tries by the Cowboys were handy for us. Cashed our best bet, which was only -2.5. So that wasn't in question, but gave us a lead that was basically insurmountable in the mixed matchup as well. But certainly impressive by the Cows. And the Queensland side was in attendance and more happy guys than sad with those all those blokes that are going to get a start for the Maroons this Wednesday, sitting in the box watching their side still not even miss a beat. Now, Friday was Panthers 30 defeating the Bulldogs 18. If you didn't catch this game, you might kind of feel, oh yeah, the Panthers had it, like kind of comfortable start to finish. They did have a great start and they did have a great finish, but the middle of this game got very interesting. After it was 22-6, the Bulldogs scored back-to-back tries to open the second half, and then it was 22-18. And, you know, anybody's game at that point before the Panthers closed it out, Padonis.
Yeah, the game almost felt over at halftime, given the dominance of the Panthers in the first half. And then Adokar's try just before halftime came against the run of play to give the Bulldogs some sniff. I thought Kurt Falls was pretty good in his debut. We did like Panthers and we did lean them to lean the -9.5, but we just felt with the two new halves, we weren't sure how they were going to fare. But I thought Penrith's production line out there, you just bring in whoever they are and they seem to slot in well. And it almost reminds me of the last few years when Melbourne have had all those key outs. And I think back to when Cooper Cronk used to be out and they used to bring in Brody Croft, and he was one of those unknown guys, and he'd step in and almost look like a Cronk clone. But seems like Penrith are building that similar mold there. And Dogs did make it interesting. They scored two quick tries just after half time, and Panthers needed all their nerves of steel to hold on there, pulling away late with a try and a penalty goal. But I thought the Dogs came back into the contest well. It was one of those games where the Panthers were just a bit too classy. And I think with their origin players missing, they really needed to lean on the experience of some of the other guys like Kickout and Fisher-Harris to get them through there, because they did look a bit disjointed for some periods there, which is expected. And that was it was factored into the spread, as we said, going from 30, which we would have assumed if it was full strength teams, 28.5, something around that, down to 10. So for all those people who had Bulldogs tickets, it was unfortunate that Panthers get a backdoor cover, even though they seem to have the game tied up at halftime.
Yeah, the Panthers got a penalty goal late, and obviously you're up 10 and you are a bit nervous because the Bulldogs are coming for you. So you take the two and get up 12, and the line pretty available if you liked the Dogs. And I know a few people did. I'm surprised to hear TopSport held more money on the Dogs. So it goes to show some people just didn't know what this Panther side was going to be capable of. So 10.5, you lose by 12, and that does hurt. And the Dogs had a set on the Panthers line right at the end. And I thought, you know, they could have scored their backdoor try, and, you know, the final margin would have been 6 or 8. And we were so close to playing. It was -8.5, $2. We just didn't quite pull the trigger. Certainly if we could have laid a 7.5 Wednesday, we'd have been on Penrith. And then once they're up easy, I'm thinking we've just let, you know, a winner slip by here. The Dogs did make it a little bit more nerve-wracking. It was a game where, you know, the try scorer omens were there too. We said Matty Burton will have a big game against his old club. He got a try, and then everyone knew Adokar would want to prove a point. He had a double in a losing side. And Kickout wants to show the Bulldogs what they've paid for as well. Of course, he scored. So an observation I've got about the Bulldogs: 3 games now Mick Pott has been in charge. 3 games they haven't covered the line. So you can't say they've gone any better. They didn't really look like beating the Tigers, although they did make that comeback. Remind me who the Dogs played last week. Remind me. Of course. I remember now. Sunday afternoon, and, you know, and they didn't cover the line there. And then this one here, the line 10.5. And yet they've gone over their team total 3 straight weeks, which means the Dogs games have suddenly gone from being the lowest scoring games of the round usually to the highest scoring games. And I think you've got to notice that. And I actually said that to you, that when we were looking at trying to play the Panthers, and you said, well, we could play Dogs under. And I said, I feel like there's a mentality change that Potter wants them to throw it around and not die wondering. And they almost think it's a win, that they're losing, but they're actually scoring points. They've actually got tries to celebrate, unlike the previous weeks where their attack was so pedestrian. So you've got to factor that in when you bet on Bulldogs games. One more game to talk about, and only really one side showed up to play in this one. That was the Manly Seagulls, who won 44-12 over the Warriors. Padonis, so, you know, behind the scenes, out for our best bets, shout out to a couple guys in our group, such as the Undertaker, laid the 3.5 with Manly on Monday or Tuesday. You know, making the case Manly's a better team and they're at home. It's not hard to make a good, strong case for that handicap. I liked that. Wednesday when we looked at it, I certainly liked Seagulls. You liked them even more. The line's now 4.5. You know, one of the reasons I talked you out of it, which I was wrong about, was I had this notion that the Warriors know they're getting home to New Zealand very soon. I think it's in a fortnight. Oh, it won't be that soon. But I think they've got two more games, sorry, and maybe a bye in there. But yeah, only two more games is what I was thinking before they go back to New Zealand. That should be inspiration to, you know, pick the season up, build some form, stay on task, because you want to go home and play in front of that packed Mount Smart crowd for a few games and have a team that the crowd can be proud of. But I think it's the opposite now. I think they feel like they're in jail and they're just ticking off the days and they just want to get home. They want to get out of here. They're completely disinterested. And the other part of the reason I said, I don't know about Manly, I thought it seems too obvious. Like, we've missed the best line. We would have still played it if we could have got 3.5. It was like $1.78. I just thought it seems like a too obvious. And then, sometimes the really obvious one does win. And it was very evident within 5 minutes of this one that Warriors had no chance. And I want to talk about Sean Johnson as well, because he was involved in the first 5 minutes. Very first set, Warriors, you know, get up to halfway, not a bad set. I was obviously cheering for them because we passed and I kind of didn't support, you know, laying the points with Seagulls. So I want to be vindicated there and I don't want us to have missed a win. So I'm sitting at home cheering the Warriors. Decent set. First kick by Johnson. I thought it was a shank. Goes like 30 meters lofted and is picked up by the Seagulls and they're instantly nearly back at halfway. They're putting the Warriors under pressure and the Warriors get the ball. Next set, looking for a better kick. It's even worse. And I thought the first one must have been a shank. But the second one's even weaker. It barely gets to halfway. And then a couple minutes later, the Warriors are working off their line and Johnson runs the ball late in the set. And I almost felt like it was because he didn't want to take the kick. And I observed later in the half, the Warriors got a penalty. Oh, they got a penalty. And Johnson kicked it like 10 meters out for touch, which, you know, if people who followed the pod for a long time know, Alexi used to always hate that. And he loved DCE because he kicks it 40 meters for touch on penalties and he would hate teams that kick it short for touch. And that particular set where the Warriors were under pressure, kick it only 10 meters for a penalty. Then they got pushed back the next two tackles and then Johnson tried to drop it off to somebody and they spilled it. And they were suddenly under pressure again when they got the penalty. Another one, they got a penalty, didn't kick it very far at all. And then they got another penalty, I recall, where Johnson just handed the ball to Walsh. So this is just pure speculation. I think he must be injured. He's had dealt with quad injuries in the past. I get the feeling that he could be saying to Nathan Brown, I'm just totally guessing here, but I can just envision a situation where he's like, I'm not right. I'm not myself. I'm barely, you know, hanging in there. I can't move at full pace. I can't kick the ball properly. And Brownie kind of going, you got to hang in there. We need you, mate. And kind of making him play. And I think a player like Johnson, who makes all the others around him better, inspires teammates, but they're seeing what he can do at training. And I reckon he's really limited and they all know they can't get much from him. There's nobody else. I mean, Walsh is trying hard, but they were abysmal. And then their defense, their goal line defense, conceding from dummy half, conceding crash over plays. I mean, I don't want to take much away from Manly. I haven't said one word about them and they put on 44. So when I throw to you, you know, please give some credit to Manly because they came out strong and relentless. But, you know, the Titans were a mess on Thursday. Dogs were gallant, losing by 12. But the worst performance of the weekend by far was the Warriors. They were absolutely horrendous, but honest.
Yeah, they were. And you touch on Johnson, just quickly while we do slag the Warriors. You touch on Johnson, how he makes the players around him better. But I actually feel like at the moment he's making a lot of the players around him a lot worse. Like we saw last year, Reece Walsh was a dominant figure there at the at the Warriors last year behind Harris DeVito and Nikorima. And there's an argument to say that is Johnson even better than what Nikorima was doing last year for him? I take your point that there might be some injury there, but I think at this point, until he gets himself right, I do think he has to be dropped or something has to change there because there was three sets on the line in the second half and it was 24-6 where the Warriors were getting something back into the game. And if they could have made a 24-12, then you never know. But Reece Walsh touched the ball once in three sets on the line. And I think that just sums up where the Warriors are at, where your best player can't get involved. And they definitely need a change there. Nathan Brown in the press conference looked lost for ideas and looked very, very similar to what Holbrook did last week after the Brisbane loss. And you touched on Manly. I listened to...
Well, before let's talk about Manly last, but the press conference is a good point because I look at Brown. He's got no answers. He's like, he looks lost. I don't know if the team's still buying in. And I just want to say, I watch all the press conferences. I don't know who this reporter, this Pommy bloke, sounds like he's come over this year reporting on the NRL. I like, he's savage. He asks the tough questions. He puts the coaches under pressure and asks like borderline disrespectful questions. Maybe it's that tabloid style in England. Maybe that's how brutal they are on the managers over there. I feel like sometimes the journos are too polite to the coach. Oh, he's just suffered a bad loss. I'll keep it. But this, like, follow-up questions. So you're saying you got no answers, Brownie. And then Brownie's backpedaling gone, oh, I didn't say I got no answers. I just, and you know what? Who sounds similar? Nathan Brown, Justin Holbrook. The first thing they say is, oh, we trained really well. You know, we've had games where we've started well, so it's not our preparation. In other words, it's not my fault. It's the player's fault. And he's, you know, he's really trying to, is the word admonish himself of any guilt or any blame.
You know which one I love, Jacob? The one I love is when he says, oh, we can't get all 13 players playing well. We get some
We've had some players good some weeks, but other players not good other weeks. So, you know, it's not like they're all bad every week. So what do you want me to do? I mean, there's no excuse. Like, he's missing the point. And he's like, oh, well, if you go back a couple of weeks ago, we scored the first couple tries, you know, in a game. So sometimes we start well, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we come back. Like, second half, we came back a bit. This week, we had a bad first half. Like, where's the leadership there? And where's the direction? I don't know. And you're right. Their players are looking around again. Similar. Well, I actually was talking to people about New Zealand saying they are similar to the Titans. They need things to go their way, and then they can play half decent. And if anything goes against them, they fold like origami. And we've seen the Warriors, like, score, you know, 24 straight against the Bunnies or whatever in patches. Or we saw the Titans do something similar against Brisbane, but when it's against them, it's ugly. And so, I don't know, you just don't want to back sides like that. And we never considered backing New Zealand, but I'm still frustrated because we left one on the table not playing Manly. But you don't want to back sides like that with the points. You're better off, as silly as it sounds, you're better off taking them for a win or win by a margin or don't play them at all because they're front runners. They need things to go well. For Manly, the thing I would say is Olakwasu was unreal. He was running, bowling over people all night long. They just couldn't handle him, the Warriors. I think he had a double as well. Ruben Garrick actually performing really admirably in, obviously, boots that nobody can really fill, but he did a great job on Saturday night. They didn't miss DCE too much, and they definitely look like a side that wants to buy in, led by Jake. Obviously, he didn't make Origin. Wants to buy in and make a finals push. Any observations on Manly before we get out of here?
Yeah, well, you talk about Jake, and when Fox Sports interviewed him and Garrick after the game, they both of them said that they had a 9-day prep and they were really in tune for this game, which is one of the things that we were discussing on Wednesday. So it's unfortunate we didn't lay the points. Shout out to Schuster as well in his first game at 5-8. I thought he had some nice touches, made a few errors as well, but you can see the ability he does have. And I really like the fact that he took the line on a few times, and shout out to Kieran Foran as well for playing that steady hand, similar to what Townsend did on Friday night in the absence of Evans. And I thought Manly were just strong across the park. And it goes to show that when one team's a little bit off and one team's a little bit on, then that's how you get these big blowout score lines. That's how close the competition is. So I'm sure the Warriors can look towards turning it around at some point. And they do have 4 wins this year, so they are a hot and cold team. And hopefully they do turn it around, because if I had to put my money on a team to win the wooden spoon at the moment, it definitely wouldn't be the Bulldogs, even though that's the one ticket we do have left on our future. So it's going to be interesting, and looking forward to Origin and then week 14 next week.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors are a dumpster fire right now, but they do have 4 wins. The Dogs still only 2 wins. Titans with 3 wins are a threat. Of course, we're talking about our wooden spoon bet at 15-1. But the finals race does heat up. Manly showing they're not going away. What the Raiders did today, both those sides are outside the 8. So they're still keeping their season alive. So the hunt for the top 8 is going to be pretty hot towards the second half of the year. But it's all about Origin now. So we turn our attention there. You're going to join me. So are a bunch of the 5 guys. Everyone's going to have their breakdown, their prediction, their tips, try scorers, man of the match, We've got some unique markets that we're going to introduce on a couple of different bookies, different ways to attack the game, as well as, yeah, just sharing our thoughts. So 6:15, the regular time you'd see a Wednesday pod, that will be live tomorrow night, Monday night, Origin 1 preview, and then round 14 preview Thursday. Everything you're used to happening from us on a Wednesday, push that 24 hours, because obviously it's all about Origin Wednesday night, and then we need to see what happens in the wash-up for that before we can even think about round 14. So NRL's to the side. It's all about Origin now. Thanks for joining me tonight, Padonis. People will hear us and see, hear from us and see us again tomorrow. So have a good week, guys. We'll talk in 24 hours. Lego.